You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Other than Christmas in Kansas City, this is the only day of the year.
Oh, yes.
You will hear Christmas music on Dana and Parks. We love Jesus. We just don't like Christmas music. It's annoying. And enough is enough. After visiting Children's Mercy, Taylor Swift is continuing to impact the Kansas City community during this holiday season.
Love this story.
The global superstar made a $250,000 donation to Operation Breakthrough, a nonprofit that helps families in the city's urban core. The organization making the announcement on its social media pages over the weekend, which featured several kids thanking Taylor.
It's so cute.
For her support. Of course, Travis Kelce has had a role with Operation Breakthrough.
Yeah, the Ignition Lab. I went and toured it last week, Scott. It's phenomenal.
So she donated $250,000.
If you go to the Operation Breakthrough website, they are selling raffle tickets to win the Chevelle that those kids in the Ignition Lab they found
it. Is this the one that he drove to the stadium?
They found it in a farmer's, farm property. Someone had dumped this car, Scott, and they've got photos of the original car. It looks about like a car dumped on a farmer's property. And they took it from that to the condition it was in when Travis drove it to that game 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. And it's on the body of a Tesla. And one of the mechanics that was working that day when I toured the facility said to me, "You get the most hilarious looks at a stoplight because that thing goes from 0 to 100 in less than 3 seconds and doesn't make a sound."
Oh.
So people look and expect the muscle car, you know, vroom, vroom, and it just goes boop. If you go to the Operation Breakthrough's website, operationbreakthrough.org, you can sign up for a chance to win that car.
Maya said something to me yesterday, and there was a lot of activity over at the house. People were coming and going. Shonda met T yesterday.
Good.
That wasn't planned. And so the girls are going to Puerto Rico on Thursday with their mom and Pedro. And I'm thrilled for them. But Maya comes over to the house. She needs to pick up some luggage. And I've got this really nice luggage. It's the hard shell luggage.
Yeah.
So she comes over and we're getting the hard shell luggage out. And in passing, and this was right before like T came home and then Shonda came over right after that. And I'm like, "T, Shonda, T, this is awkward, weird, but awkward." And Maya says to me, she goes, "I've made a decision, Dad, and we're going to have a longer conversation about this because the conversation was short." She goes, "I've decided that when the day comes that I get married, I'm keeping my last name."
She's going to keep Parks? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Struggling with how I feel about this.
What if she meet someone whose last name happens to be, you know, Hall.
Dorfenberger?
Or Helzberg.
Oh, well, then we're changing our name.
Or Kelce.
We're changing our name and we're sending Dad to the Caribbean.
Maybe then we hyphenate.
Right. I thought that was sweet.
Very sweet.
Because she knows that the family name, you know, unless my nephew starts a family and has his kids of his
own. All eyes are on you, buddy.
You're the last of the last. The name dies with you. And for men, we've had this conversation before. For men, that's a big deal.
It can be, yeah.
Yes. And maybe it's sexist. Maybe it's Neanderthal.
You tell Maya that her sweet Aunt Dana said, "Of one thing I am certain, you can start out as Parks. You can have 3 or 4 different names, and you can always come back to it."
Oh, God. Look at you.
She's young. She'll figure it out.
At least your name will always exist on the internet, Scott.
There you go. Yes.
Really cute. That's what you got?
I got
what you're bringing to the table?
That's what I'm bringing to the table today.
Okay.
Big swing right there.
How many last names have you had?
Just, well,
I have to think about it.
In and out of a couple of them.
So if they're the same name twice, that still counts as two.
Yeah. So my here's what's interesting.
Your birth name. We're not going to give out all of your last
names. No, but someone said to me the other day, "Are you going to go back to your middle name, Leanne?" And one of my girlfriends said, "You know, you should probably just make it Leanne, L-E-A-N-N. My parents decided to spell it an odd way that looked French, even though we lived in North Topeka.
Tracks.
My concern with that is I don't want to make it any more difficult to get TSA pre. And I'm already a TSA nightmare.
But by now, you're almost on the terror watch
list. Yeah, I might as well just sign directly up for the terror watch list. Because they're like, wait, who? I went in one day to try to get TSA pre. And they're like, ma'am, the trail of paperwork we would need to see of your...
Did they really say this?
It's like the chain of evidence at a crime scene.
Is this true?
Yes, Scott, I'm telling you. I went to the place in Lenexa and said, how can I... Everyone in my family is TSA pre. So I watch my children just breeze on through the line. And I'm like... I'll be back here.
See you in an hour.
Those are my children.
So you had Dana Wright. Uh-huh. Then your married name with Joe. Mm-hmm. Then
back to Wright.
Then you went back to Wright uh-huh. for a number of years.
Yep.
So now we're at three. Then you went to Katz.
Yep.
And now we're going back to Wright.
Right. Now we're in a holding pattern because of the middle name. I don't know. I think this time a judge wants... Everything is done. I just bounce back to my original birth certificate name. And I'm telling you, I think that I'm just going to leave. I came into this world, Dana Leanne. I think I'm going to exit this world, Dana Leanne. The alpha and the omega, if you will.
Okay, really?
Took a couple detours and I've come full circle.
Okay.
I don't know if we're on omega. We might be a few letters past that.
We down to Pi Q. Is that what you're trying to say to me? Pi.
The Mega Millions jackpot is now at $944 million.
Ooh.
After no ticket matched the numbers drawn on Friday.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
You know how much I love the Chiefs. You know how much I love the Royals. I have personally known two people, because they posted the photo on Facebook in the last 7 or 8 years, who won the Royals 50-50 raffle. You know, they go around, really? They sell the tickets, 50% goes to Royals Charities, 50%
goes to you and Kat.
One of them was a friend of mine, and one of them was a friend, but a colleague that I work with at Channel 5. Okay. And they're like, oh my God, look, so-and-so won the 50-50 raffle. Huh. We were at the Chiefs game the other day, and I always pay the $40 for 200 tickets. Always. And you can go online and be a part of the 50-50 raffle. You want to talk about Powerball odds. Your odds of winning the 50-50 raffle are actually not bad when compared to a traditional lottery's odds.
So they're not great, but they're...
Yes, and you're donating to the Chiefs charities. So if you're going to play a raffle, that's the lottery you play. So I bought the ticket the other day, and someone said to me...
How many do you buy?
You buy $40, gets you 200, and it's a big, long receipt they print out. You get 200 chances.
Huh.
And then, like, in the third or fourth quarter, they...
Put the numbers up on the board.
It's usually like A and then a string of a bunch of numbers. My buddy that we went to the game with said to me, I have never known anyone that has won one of the NFL 50-50 raffles. I've played it at the Super Bowl. That one was a big old pot of money, Scott. I'm curious, do you know anyone that's ever won that thing? Because you can also play out of state. I think you can go online, you know, and log on Chiefs.com. So it's not necessarily...
Is that legal?
Oh, yeah. And what I said to him was, those raffles are so heavily regulated. I mean,
it is gambling.
It is a lottery. Yep. So, you know, I think you have to be 18. You have, you know, all of the things. I don't think you have to be present to win. I'm just saying, I've never known anyone to win the Chiefs raffle. And I always play that thing. So if Powerball is not your thing, you want to support the teams, and half of that money does go to the Chiefs or Royals charities, that's where you put your money.
So when I've been at the Chiefs games, I must confess, I don't really pay a lot of attention because I don't gamble, except here on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Right.
But anyway, what is that normally worth?
Well, it was like $80,000,
okay,
on Saturday's game, is I believe what it came to.
Untraceable bills?
No, I'm pretty sure they're marked.
Mm.
Anyway.
I will say the Royals ones are now harder to win because they don't do it by game anymore. They do it by home series.
Oh, do they really?
So, yeah. So, you know, if you go, it used to be every game, but they would pull the number by the seventh inning.
Yeah.
Now they do it per series. So, you know, if you go on a Friday night, your number is not going to be pulled until
Sunday. You know why
Sunday.
They do that, Q? Because they have to have staff out there holding the yellow signs and the little credit card kiosk readers.
Well,
I mean, there's a lot of staff that goes around
working. In fairness to the Royals, they have a lot of games, and so...
Which would be a lot of staff.
You get a Chiefs game with 75, 78,000 people, and then you've got a Friday night game that's got 20 grand, Saturday night game that's got 20 grand, a Sunday afternoon game, 15 grand. And you still haven't gotten up to the number of people
right.
at a Chiefs game, at one Chiefs game. So they have to spread it out over three games. That only makes sense.
Yeah.
Today is December 23rd. This is the real date of Festivus on Seinfeld. So what we've decided to do, because this is a week where a lot of you are out in the car, you're out shopping, last minute gifts, we are going to do a grievance gratitude hour.
I love it.
In the 5 o'clock hour today.
Coming up, you have heard Scott, and we have certainly talked about on this very program, people in civilian life lying about military service.
Stolen valor.
When was the last time you heard of an indictment for a veteran lying about military service?
Ooh.
Oh, yes, there's a case in the stack, people.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
So how many times on this program have we talked about somebody busted for pretending to be a member of the military when they are not? And you will hear other veterans say, Scott, that if someone is boasting about their service and just a little too willing to share, or maybe some of the details don't match up, they're usually lying. And we have members of our audience who will say, I'm military. I'll call them out on it. And be like, oh, really? Okay, tell me more about your service.
Tell me the unit you were in.
Yeah, where exactly were you?
Which doesn't exist. Yeah,
the unit.
You know, I was in the meat column here, in right. the 187th.
So we've heard about those stories, and those stories sometimes lead to prosecutions. But I don't know the last time I heard about a story like this. They are saying that a veteran is going to be prosecuted for lying about his military service and awards. A verified veteran, and not just embellishing. I mean, he embellished, but did he embellish.
About what?
Listen to this. A U.S. Marine Corps veteran pretended to serve several more years than he actually did and faked positions and awards that he held on job applications and disability benefits claims.
That right there is a crime.
59 years old. He lives in Jacksonville, Florida, and has just pleaded guilty to a federal offense. One count of making a false statement to a federal agency, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. Okay? The man served more than 6 years in the United States Marine Corps. Honorably. Had an honorable discharge.
Okay.
He was a Marine for 6 years.
Okay.
However, at some point, he started lying about that military service, as well as lying about the way he was discharged. Like, he made up a different discharge than he was discharged for. The form that he... This is where this doesn't make sense. You got to help me out here.
There's not much higher than honorable discharge.
The form that he filled out said he served as a reconnaissance man, a parachute and scuba instructor for more than 14 years. He also lied about holding a counterintelligence, quote, human intelligence position for more than 8 years, as well as a fire support position for 15 years, and then sprinkled in a bunch of awards he never actually got.
Such as?
He also claimed he was a field radio operator and water safety survival instructor.
Well, he's been around. He's done it all.
In 2009, the man sent in a fake military discharge form in his application for an intelligence analyst government contract position and landed the job. At some point, he got caught. And when he started using those forms to support VA disability benefits, the law caught up with him.
Does it say the awards that he lied about?
It does not, but I bet if we can somehow... Allegedly. Right. Well, no, he pleaded guilty. Yeah, he faces up to 5 years in federal prison. Sentencing date's not listed. So I ask you, we have a lot of veterans who listen to this program. Normally when someone gets busted about this, it's they never served and they lied about serving. I can't remember the last time there was a story in the stack where a 9-year Marine Corps veteran.
6 years. You said six.
Maybe it was six. Just started stacking on other jobs that he had that he didn't actually have.
So he would at least have some.
He was a jack of all trades, according to his application.
Clearly. I was in fire suppression.
Radio.
Parachuting.
Water safety.
Shark killing.
I was so good at all of it. They couldn't figure out where to place me.
He would clearly have at least some knowledge on what to lie about.
Yes.
Unlike somebody who had never served. and you're just making up units and
right?
battles that never happened and awards that you claim you got. You got a bronze star. Yeah, for what? Well, you know, I got the bronze star and then I got a silver star too. For what? You know. I would make the argument it's almost worse.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
When it's somebody in the service who is lying about their service. And keep in mind, stolen valor is only a crime, it's my understanding, if you use it for financial or
if you're
some
lying
sort
in the bar,
gain.
It just makes you a DB.
Correct. And somebody's going to call you out. It only becomes a crime when you use it for financial gain or a promotion or something like that. But if you are a member of, check that, former member of the military, I know, once a Marine, always a Marine.
But is he now? I mean, now that he's going to prison, federal prison, and he's been busted lying about it, I think you're no longer a Marine at that point. You're an inmate.
I don't think he's going to be welcome at the next veterans get-together because you lied. Here's what I always recognized when I was growing up. And my dad served in Vietnam. All of my friends' dads served in Vietnam. Nobody talked about Vietnam. Nobody.
He's accused of creating a fraudulent form DD-214 military discharge document that contained the false statements about his service. And as recently as 2023, used that for either employment applications, for government contract positions, and for disability claims.
Mm-hmm. And no other veteran's gonna want to be with you, around you, deal with you, work with you, because you lied about what you did. When most veterans won't even talk, not about what they did, what they had to do.
Yeah.
And therein lies the difference. What they had to do for this country, for the other men and women in their unit, for their own survival, they don't talk about it. It doesn't happen. But I would love to hear, and Dana's right, we have a lot of veterans in the audience. This former Marine, I know, once a Marine, always a Marine, served 6 years, has pleaded guilty to lying about his service. And boy, did he ever.
His fine, by the way, if you're curious how much, his fine is $810,000.
What's his prison sentence?
He faces up to 5 years.
Wow. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. We will get to the phones here in just a moment. 913-586-7798. So if you're online, hang tight. We'll get with you in just a second. From the text line, I was in the military for 25 years. And on my applications for work, I don't put down anything.
Really?
Then how do you explain that 25-year gap in employment? And also from the text line.
You were either in a coma or in prison.
Well, clearly.
You pick.
Scott, my dad was in Vietnam. Vietnam is like the Fight Club. Yeah. You don't talk about the Fight Club. Michael in Kingsville, 586-7798. Hello.
Hey, Scott. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Happy holidays, first of all. Same. Mad respect for your dad.
Thank you. On his behalf, I say thank you.
I was in the military for 12 years, and we have a lingo. Like, I was at the gym, and some guy was trying to talk to himself, but he goes, well, I was a Ranger and all that. I was like, really? What class? He's like, well, I forget. I'm like, no, there's some things you just don't forget. So I was like, so what's the first line of the Ranger Creed? Well, that was so long ago, I forget. I was like, nah, there's some things you don't forget. So when veterans BS about being veterans, people know.
No, it's true. It's true.
So, but yeah, much respect for your dad, and thanks for his service.
Well, again, on his behalf, you're welcome, and thank you for yours. I've never understood the idea of stolen valor. What's the point? To prove that you were tougher than you really are? What? To get a leg up on some sort of job?
Because you have to know that if it makes you feel good to brag about things you've never done, sooner or later, your luck is going to run out and you're going to come across someone in a bar
who's done it.
Actually served.
Mm-hmm. Or an employer who knows that there is no such thing as the 181st.
Right. You just start making up numbers. It's the 343rd.
Really? I was a
thousandth.
Thousandth.
It's very rare. You probably haven't heard of it.
It's a secret military
super
organization.
Secret.
In fact, I can't even believe I put the numbers down. I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong of me, because now you know that they exist.
You caught me. I took an oath not to ever tell anyone.
Beta Corey, a retired legal secretary, has returned her license plate stamped with NCC-1701.
Yep.
Like the identifying tag of the USS Enterprise in Star Trek, according to the Department of Motor Vehicles in New York. She turned them in, by the way, these personalized license plates, in April of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But in August of that year, a $50 ticket for speeding in the Bronx arrived in her mailbox at her home in Huntington, New York.
She is 75 years old, loves Star Trek, Scott, relinquishes the license plate, and now whatever Trekkie ding-a-ling has it is racking up hundreds and thousands of dollars in fees.
There's even one photograph of her driving a motorcycle. And she's 77. By the way, she returned the license plates, which she originally got in 1998. They were purchased by her former husband, who was a Trekkie. She was given a receipt that said plates destroyed.
Listen to this.
But for the
next 4 years. This has been going on for 4 years. That's why I put this in the stack. 4 years she's been dealing with this. Have you ever had a personalized license plate?
You mean, I hate that they're called personalized.
Vanity plates.
They're vanity plates. Have you?
In our family, we have. The problem that she has is that she chose one, or her husband chose one, so popular with Star Trek fans. I have no idea what NCC-1701
means.
That's
the number on the side of the USS Enterprise.
That people buy that plate, not through state-sanctioned, you know, DMV type places, but they go on Amazon and just buy the plate, Scott, and then they fraudulently put that on their car as if it is a plate. So she's not getting like infractions from one actual person necessarily who has the plate, although she might be. She's getting dozens and dozens and dozens from people who have been caught on red light cameras and other surveillance cameras with the fake Amazon vanity plate that has no bearing on the driver of
no legal bearing.
It's just an Amazon fake plate. So she's getting it from all corners of the world because you can buy this on Amazon. What are you a Trekkie, Q? I hate to ask, but I feel
of
like you might be.
Of course he is. Look at him.
No, I'm not.
Oh, I was going to say, what does NCC 1701 mean? You don't know.
No.
Okay.
It's the number on the side of the Enterprise.
Okay.
Look, I'll show you.
In New York City alone.
I'm a Star Wars guy.
While you look that up.
Same.
This is why I put this in the stack. In New York City alone, Scott, the Department of Finance says in November, she owed $16,585.22 for violations and penalties.
When you look at the Enterprise, that's the letter and number sequence on the top.
That looks like a Frisbee, but okay. Did you hear me? She owes $16,000 in 1 month in New York City.
So does she have to like fight all these?
Yes, she's 75.
Like,
she keeps going in like, this is not me.
And one of them was on a motorcycle.
It is illegal, by the way, in New York to drive with plates purchased from an unofficial online retailer. Yet everyone, because of this one plate, is doing it.
Do you know there's actually how do I put this? What's the word? It's not an argument or a fight, but it's almost impossible, not to nerd out on you today. Mm. It's almost impossible to be a Star Wars fan and a Star Trek fan, or a Star Trek fan and a Star Wars fan. You get into your own camp. That's how much these franchises mean to these people.
Okay. You've seen the one with, what's his name? The Saturday Night Live skit where the actual actor is standing at the podium at a convention for Trekkies. And he says, what are you people doing here? It is one of the funniest.
Is this the Patrick What's-His-Face
guy? No, what is the Star Trek guy's name? Shatner.
Oh, William Shatner, Captain Kirk.
William Shatner is at a podium as William Shatner looking out at the audience saying, go home. what are you people doing here? He goes, you in the front row, have you ever kissed a girl?
Oh, my God.
And I think it's like Kevin Nealon. This was years ago. It is one of the funniest SNL skits of all time. But I do believe at those conventions, like, if you're into it, Scott, you're into it.
Well, remember, we talked to William Shatner on the phone.
Oh, he was lovely.
He was delightful. And he was coming into town. People will flock. He is in his 80s, early 90s.
Look up the SNL skit with William Shatner or Bill. Remember he said, please call me Bill? And I'm like, we're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
He's like, please call me Bill. He was so nice.
He was fantastic. Saturday Night Live, William Shatner. Star Trek convention. Oh, God. I'll see if I can get it. Oh, here it is. Get a life. Is that what he says?
Yes.
Okay. Q, give me my audio, please. Hang on, I gotta wait for a commercial. Oh,
we'll post this story on social about poor 75-year-old Mrs. Corey, who, by the way, now hates Star Trek because of everything she's been through.
Well, she should.
$16,000, Scott. Her phone rings morning, noon,
like
and
when
night.
You left your quarters for the last time, and you opened up your safe. What was the combination?
Get a life, will you, people?
Yeah, there's Kevin Nealon.
I mean, for crying out loud, it's just a TV show. I mean, look at you. Look at the way you're dressed. You've turned an enjoyable little job that I did as a lark for a few years into a colossal waste of time.
James in Oak Grove. James, hello.
Okay, so I've never been to a con, but I hang out with some pretty geeky guys, and they've always said NCC stands for Naval Construction Contract.
Okay.
Which I, you know,
James, do not put it on a license plate.
No, I don't. No, I'm not going to do that. But yeah, that's what everybody's always said.
And what is the 1701? What is that supposed to be?
From what I understand, it's like the 1701 construction contract.
Okay. Starfleet. Let me ask you something, James, because you know some of these folks.
Oh my God.
What is it about that license plate that they all like to speed and break the law? Because like there are a lot of different personalized plates you could buy on Amazon that aren't legally, you know, valid as plates. She's got $16,000 in fines.
And 30 years of being a cop and running mostly traffic, a lot of that, I never stopped anybody with a license plate like that. But I guess, you know, if you're devoted Star Trek fan, you're a devoted Star Trek fan.
And lawbreaker.
Who's the bigger nerd? The Star Wars fan or the Star Trek fan?
You know, I love both of them. So I got to say, they're both on equal footing for the nerdiest. I mean,
you don't think Trekkies are the bigger nerds?
Gonna start a riot.
I got into an argument one night with my friends. We were playing Trivial Pursuit, Star Wars edition, and we got into like a 30-minute argument over was the shuttle that was going to Endor Tiderium or Tiberium?
Oh gosh!
And we like had to bring out the DVD and
it was Tiberium.
I think it was Tiderium, but you know, I'm way out argued over that. But
wow,
yeah,
that is some class A nerdism.
I have a friend of mine that has the Batleth, the Klingon weapon, has one of those hanging up over his fireplace next to his cheap Japanese mall store samurai swords.
Okay.
Wow. But yeah, they get into it.
All right. Speaking of Saturday Night Live, Skip, when we get back, I have been waiting for this video to surface. I knew it would, and it has. I think this happened while you were gone. At one of the Kansas City pop-up bars, you know, the holiday Christmas cheer.
Yeah, you went to a gingerbread one
or something. Yeah, pop-up bars, they're festive, they're lovely.
Yeah.
Some guy went in there, started acting a fool. They asked him to leave. He comes back with a knife. Pandemonium ensues. He is arrested and charged. He is not getting out of jail. He's like in his 40s. I knew there was going to be video. When we come back, we're going to check and see if we can play it. It was Christmas sweater wearing patrons that started picking up bar stools.
Oh, my God. Was this here in town?
Yes. They started picking up bar stools and, like, we're not going to let this guy ruin our holiday cheer. And they get him into a corner until police arrive. There's now video, and it is glorious.
Oh, my word. Those are
metal,
red metal
festive
bar stools.
An elf is on the TVs in the background.
Oh, they threw one.
Yes!
Threw two.
It is sheer outstanding pandemonium.
Were you at this event?
I was not there when it happened. And we asked, like, if you were there and you're comfortable calling in, because I'm sure it was very, at the moment it was going down, it was probably scary. But to watch the video now, it looks like a scene out of something you would see on SNL. Christmas sweaters are flying. Balls are, like, the holiday jingle balls are flying. He's been arrested. No one was hurt.
Oh, my God.
It happened on the plaza. We're going to have to talk about this when we come back.
This was the gingerbread pop-up?
It's a different pop-up.
Okay.
They go by various names. It's usually just merriment and drinking and holiday cheer.
Not there. Not that night. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. So it was 7 days ago on the plaza, you're right. Employees at a pop-up holiday bar in Kansas City's Country Club Plaza used items from around the busy establishment to restrain a man who allegedly threatened people with a knife. This looks like it was a week ago Saturday. Prosecutors have charged Rustam Husainov, 37 years old, of Kansas City, with multiple felonies and a misdemeanor in Jackson County Circuit Court, including first-degree terrorist threat, first-degree harassment, second-degree assault, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on. Bond set at $75,000. Police were called to the Miracle on the Plaza pop-up bar at 48th and Jefferson around 11:50 Saturday night on a report of an armed man at the bar.
He had been causing problems two or three times, and it was like, we're going to need you to leave, and then he left, and then he came back. He was accused of harassing employees, saying, like, sexually inappropriate things. So, again, they said, all right, you gots to go. You cannot come back. Mm-hmm. You have to go, sir. He leaves and then is alleged to have come back with a knife. And then we read in the, like, complaint, because he was charged with all kinds of things, we read that it was the patrons of the pop-up bar that sprung into action and, like, herded him into a corner with bar stools is what
metal red bar stools, but in
the complaint it just said they held him there, bar stools in hand, until police got there. Well, now we're seeing the video. That is not what went down.
There were bar stools being thrown almost at random.
Yeah, they went full on in tandem.
Just throw.
Yeah.
If it hits somebody else.
Like darts.
That's not my problem.
At the bad guy. And I'm saying good on all of the men that jumped in and did this, but they were not coordinated in their attack against this suspect. I will say that.
True. Police said none of the open bar tabs were paid. Everybody left in a panic.
Well, of course they did. The guy had a knife.
Damage to glasses, tables, and chairs totaling more than $3,000. Can you explain something to me?
Okay, wait. But
and this is going to be a little bit off but on topic.
Yes.
I've never been to a pop-up bar. Yeah. Which is probably in my best interests. When did these things start? Because I've only heard about them for about a year or two.
Yeah, 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
Okay, and are they always themed?
Yes, it is a brilliant way to make use of shuttered space. And so as a business owner, you're not really owning the business all year. You're really just using wasted shuttered space and making a killing for 4 weeks.
How does word get around that you've got a pop-up bar?
Social media, baby. And you cannot get a lot of those pop-up bars. By the time you try to get a reservation, reservations are closed. You cannot get in. They are hard to get into.
So why wouldn't you keep it going more than 4 weeks?
Because it's the novelty of the ones I've been to, Scott, they've got Elf and they've got all of the old Christmas. Remember when we were little downtown, you would go downtown and there was like the plastic Santa sleigh and the reindeer strung up over, you know, like Kmart in Topeka, the old school 1970s Santa displays. These places are packed with those. So it's sheer nostalgia.
And they're just trendy.
Yes, they play Christmas Story. All of the bartenders are dressed up as elves. It's blaring Christmas music.
I have so many questions.
Bar stools are flying.
Well, of course they are. Knives are being drawn. People are running for their lives. Bar tabs are going unpaid. Do the same people that work at, say, the Miracle on the Country Club Plaza also end up working at the gingerbread pop-up bar?
No. Each is its own
entity?
Yeah.
And so you went to the gingerbread pop-up bar 2 weeks ago or a week ago. Yes. What does one do at a gingerbread pop-up bar?
You drink and you take photos of the phenomenal lights because the display is outstanding. This isn't, we're going to put a couple Christmas trees up. It is like full on, like scenes from like a Christmas story, much. Like the sex leg lamp. It is billions of lights and little shiny balls and candy canes and Santas. And
do they only do it during the
that's it.
Christmas
lead
season.
Up to Christmas and then it's over. That's why it's called pop-up bar. Pops up, it's gone.
So you can't do a like a Chiefs pop-up bar in August?
You could, I suppose. We're going to post this on social, you guys. It's outstanding. I'm telling you, it's outstanding.
But this is the usual time of season.
Yes.
For the pop-up bar.
Yes.
And the man drawing a knife.
And this man popped up inside of one, allegedly with a knife, and is now charged with, like, I don't know, 9 felonies.
News is next. Hey, don't forget, we're running out of time with Coats for Kids. 2 more days left before the campaign ends.
He asked a judge to lower his bond. If he posts it, he will not be allowed within 1,000 feet of the pop-up bar.
Go to KMBZ.com if you can help us with Coats for Kids. Our campaign ends on Christmas Day. Quick break for the news here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.